Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
John chapter 2, verse 1-10. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pot," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tested the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. When the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." I want us to look at levels of progression in marriage. Verse 1, the Bible said there was a marriage. This has to do with decision. It has to do with date. It has to do with day. It has to do with time. Every marriage begins here. There was. A young man will have to decide one day that I want to get married and settle down. I once asked somebody, "Why do you want to marry?" And he says, "I want to marry because all my mates are already married." As beautiful as it may sound, but I saw a whole lot of emptiness in that answer. We don't marry because our mates are getting married. Some will say, "I want to get married because I'm the only son of my parents. And so, I need to raise children so that my parents will also have others." That's a marriage that will jam the rock if there are no children or if there is delay in conception. Because you married in order to get children. Some will say, "I want to get married because I've been feeling lonely and I want a companion." That's a marriage that will begin to crack when there's a reason why the two cannot stay together all the time. But we have to marry because God wants us to do so. We have to marry because we need to fulfill destiny together. Until Eve became part of Adam, he didn't know where he was going. It has to do with death. Some young men are not married today because they are yet to decide whether they will get married. Some are still sampling. And some are still praying. Some are still changing. No matter how old you are, if you have not decided, if you have not made a choice of whom, and then further go ahead to take a date, you won't get married. Oftentimes when people come to me and say, "Sir, really want to get married, but there's no money," what I tell them, go and fix a date. When you are through with a date, come back to me, and then we can talk. Praise God. You've got to decide. Certain things are very important in life, and certain things are very critical. And I've always said that if you make a marriage mistake, you will almost ruin 70% of your destiny. And so you need to get it right from the beginning and improve on it. Praise God. Many are still single today because they can't afford to make a date.
Many are still single today because they are still living in the past. My father told me that marriage is difficult. And so I'm not yet ready to go through the difficulties. My mother told me that men are all useless. And so every time the subject of marriage is mentioned, it is just like a secondary subject. So many are still living in the past. And so they are still waiting. I said, I don't know when I will get married, but I know I will get married soon. Praise God. I'd like you to know that there will be no wedding in heaven, so don't fix your own when we get there. Verse 1, there was a marriage because two persons decided to come together. And in verse 1, the Bible said the mother of Jesus was there. I look at this more like a foundation. What is on ground? What preparation, what readiness, what determination do you have? There are young men that have gotten up to marry and said, I'm going to marry next year, no matter what. I have the money. I'm working in a good company. I've saved so much. So I know I can keep a home. But can I shock you by saying that it is not money in the bank that keeps the home? Praise God. It's not how much you have that keeps the home. Some have married but lasted 2 weeks. Some have married but lasted 1 month. Some have married but lasted 1 year. Some have married, they say, anytime I get tired, I will walk out on this. I won't allow any man or any woman to hook me down. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be determined. The Bible said the mother of Jesus was there. The foundation, when it is faulty, there is nothing we can do about the building on top. What do you have going into marriage? What you should have should not only be physical, it should also be spiritual. Because the time comes in your marriage where all the physical things you have won't be able to solve the problem, won't be able to end the crisis. It will take your deep-rooted spirituality. It will take your deep-rooted sensitivity to the hearing, to the things of God that will help you. Any marriage that will last must be founded on a solid foundation based on God. Men and women must know this, that you don't marry only because you have the masculine and the feminine quality. But it goes beyond that. Your marriage will not be blissful just because you are tall. Your marriage will not be great just because you are beautiful. Your marriage will not be great just because you are shaped beautifully. Your marriage is not going to be great just because you have all the degrees in the world. The Bible says beauty is deceitful, favor is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, including a man that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Praise God. In verse 2, the Bible says Jesus and his disciples were invited. And I said, they are at this level. Who and what is attracted to your marriage becomes your responsibility. What is attracted to your marriage will become your responsibility. You can marry in such a way that neighbors don't even need to come in. But there are those who marry that neighbors have become third parties in their marriage. Because every other week they are fighting and one good neighbor somewhere is coming to help them. And then you hear them say, if not for this my good neighbor, my husband would have removed my eyes. Praise God. Thank God for my good neighbor. Otherwise, I don't know what my wife would have turned me into. What and who is attracted to your marriage becomes your responsibility after marriage. You may decide to marry and make your marriage a huge success. I said, this my marriage is not going to be a marriage where I report my husband and my wife to virtually everybody. I said, if you see the kind of woman I marry, you will never be successful marrying that kind of a woman. You know, a lot of men have turned their wives into their enemies and say, ever since I married you, everything has nosedived in my life. I'd like you to note very seriously that your attitude and character in marriage can invite things and people to your marriage. Your attitude, your character in marriage can invite things. Can invite the things that are not supposed to be there. Can invite beatings. Some women will say, I don't have any other thing, but I have mouth and I go give you 2-4. Your attitude can invite things to your marriage. Jesus was invited. His disciples were invited. What are you going to invite in your marriage? Is it going to be crisis? Is this going to be tears? Is it going to be regret? Who will you invite? You know, some have invited so many persons except Jesus Christ. Some have given invitation to personalities. But no, they didn't call Jesus into it. But if he's not the center of your marriage, it doesn't matter the personalities that showed up. It will only end somewhere. Some persons wedded and they had a who in society attend their wedding. But 2 weeks after, the marriage ended in court. Verse 3, the Bible says they have no wine. This season and level is almost inevitable in every marriage. No matter how prepared and how fortified you are, no matter how ready you are, you will always come to this point where what you started with is no longer at the same level. When they started the marriage, they had wine in surplus. But while the wedding feast was going on, something got finished. Something got finished along the line. Beauty will fade along the line. Sometimes money will reduce along the line. The Bible says even in Egypt, money failed. So sometimes the primary things that you looked at, the tangible, physical, touchable things that attracted you to the marriage along the line could get finished. But the good news that if Jesus is in the marriage, whatever gets finished, he has a way of replenishing it. Praise God. Attraction can get finished. This level will come. This season will come. Some have carefully removed for better, for worst a marriage oath. They have replaced it for better, for best, for richer, for riches, for whatever, all good. That's your opinion. But all those confessions will not stop you from facing reality. Praise God. Do you know how many persons have died while they were confessing, "I shall not die but live long"? Amen. They are still confessing that "I won't die but live long," and they are losing their voice gradually until they lose their last breath. God is still God. Reality is going to set in. Let no man deceive you that if you say for better, for best, you will always get it good and rosy. No, you are not going to always get it good and rosy. Something will get finished. But when the thing is finished, do you have enough to stay on until it is replenished? The difference between your preparation will be how short and how soon your replacement will come. If you are prepared well, you will always have replacement. In the marriage relationship, the following things will certainly be essential ones. Number one, understanding. We've got to understand each other. We've got to know each other. Understand it. That when my husband is talking, I may not need to talk. Otherwise, something else could happen. Before I got married, I told my wife something. Let both of us not be angry at the same time. When you are angry, let me try as much as possible not to be angry. It will help us. Praise God. Let both of us not be angry at the same time. Let us not feel like beating each other at the same time. Otherwise, when we have the same feeling of beating each other, nobody will remain for each person to beat after. Amen. God bases his relationship on differences and not on similarities. It is when this one is different, when they come together, they will be able to form a place. See, we must have understanding. Number two, love. I don't need to overemphasize it. The Bible says, so ought men to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Don't love her because she's still beautiful. Don't love her because she's walking. Don't love her because she's industrious. You know, there are men that are still unmarried today because they are looking for women who will feed them. Praise God. They are still single because they are waiting for the governor's daughter. And said, "That's my destiny. My destiny is in Asu Rock." You better open your eyes. Men ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. The definition of love that Christ had for the church is that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We did not nothing to deserve his love. And so sometimes you look at your wife and say, for this thing you have done, I would have given you a dirty slap, but I love you with the love of God. Praise God. Another thing that is essential in marriage is money. Yes, money is essential. But not too much of it. With little money you have and understanding of the both parties, you can live very well. Praise the Lord. Respect. If there's anything a man wants from his wife, it's respect. He wants to feel honored. He wants to feel that my wife respects me. And you know that there are wives that respect is not found in their dictionary at all. They say, we are talking about women equality with men. You are tall, I am tall. You are fair, I'm fair. You are black, I'm black. You are walking, I'm walking. What is the difference? If you don't give me money, I'll feed myself. Respect. You know, some women don't do dishes at home. Some women don't wash their husband's clothes. Why? That is not the cardinal responsibility of a wife. But it gives your husband a sense of respect and honor when he pick his shirts and his clothes and wash them. Amen. We'll look at your fingers and said, I just went to medicure, papa cure, and mama cure yesterday. So you are removing your dirty clothes. You better send it to the dry cleaners. Respect. Have you ever placed food on your husband's table and watch him eat? Or you just place the food and walk away? So whether the thing is sweet or not, whether you are interested or not, if you like, eat. If you don't like, leave him. Amen. Let the man feel you respect him. Attention and communication. Someone must always be there. Someone must be willing and ready to provide for these things at all the time for the marriage to excel. In verse 3b, the Bible says, and the mother of Jesus said, at this level, people will begin to say something, either for you, to you, or about you. The mother of Jesus said, 2 weeks after now, 3 years after now, what will people say about you? What will they say? Because people will definitely say something. What are they going to say? Will all the brothers of your husband begin to say, ever since you got married to our brother, we've not had his attention anymore? Will all your in-laws begin to say, ever since you got married to our daughter, in fact, look at the way she is. Amen. Don't marry a wife that the day you are taking her home, you go and buy one big glass for her to cover because you did something to her eye yesterday. So just wear it. If they ask you, don't dare tell them that we had a fight. Praise the Lord. Someone will have to say something. My prayer for you is that they will say something good in the name of Jesus. And I also saw who is saying something about your marriage. Some will say something for. The mother of Jesus went to Jesus and said they have no wine. But do you know that there are mothers that are saying something against the marriages of their children? They just finished getting married and a mother is with a bottle of alcohol and is pouring libation and said, that my son-in-law, may you never prosper, just because he didn't complete things in the list. What are people saying about your marriage? And there are fathers that have poured libation and said, I wish you fail. And I pray that every negative sentence that have been placed on your marriage, let God remove it in the name of Jesus. May you have people who will go to God and say, God, it is 2 years already. They don't have a child. Open their womb. May you have men and women who will go to God and say, it is 3 years alone. They have not built their house. God, show them mercy to build a house. May you have such people in your marriage. Because it has a way of giving you energy to go forward. Praise the Lord. Who is speaking into your marriage life? Is he a witch? Is he a native doctor? Is he an occultist? This to a large extent depends on your level 2. Praise God. Your level 2 is who you invited. I'd like you to know that there are some of our needs in marriage that God will use others to provide for us. Make sure that you don't silence the voice of those that matter in your destiny by your attitude. Some of the needs we have in our marriage, God will use others to provide it for us. What if the mother of Jesus was not there? I don't think they had the courage to have gone to Jesus. But you know, the mother of Jesus knew Jesus very well and could walk boldly to Jesus. Just like when you have a maid and you have a son or a daughter in the house. You know, sometimes I am eating on the table and you see my daughter will just walk in, put hand in the food and begin to eat. That's because she is a daughter. Praise God. She knows her right. But there are things that maids will not do. They don't have a right to do it. But your son can walk up to you and just take your meat and begin to eat. Praise God. Say, Daddy, Daddy. He is my daddy. He is my mommy. I know he wouldn't do me anything. Praise God. I know he loves me. He wouldn't do me anything. The mother of Jesus walked to Jesus and said, they don't have wine. They don't have wine. Give it to them. Amen. Let your attitude not silence the voices of people that matters. There are people that after they got married, they despise their pastors. They don't listen to them anymore. It's the same pastor that you went to all the time and said, Daddy, pray. Is he the one? Is she the one? But after you got married, you have become big. I said, no, pastor, don't need to come in this thing. Whatever I want, that is what I'm going to do. It is me that married her. It is me that married him. If I want to lock him out for 2 hours, let it be so. Verse 4, my hour has not come. This level, I choose to target us. Understand the importance of times and season. And never fear to grab the reason behind seasons and times. Jesus said, my hour has not come. Even in marriage, it's not the moment you get married that there will be a car. To some people, it's like that. But may we understand times and seasons in marriage so that you don't put your spouse under unnecessary pressure. For everything that happens in your marriage, learn how to wait for the right season and listen to the right reason. Praise God. Learn how to wait for the right season. You know, there are some couples that get married now and in the next 2 months, the wife is already loaded. I know some people can put people under unnecessary pressure. After just 6 months, everybody is looking at your stomach. I said, the stomach is still flat. Tell them to keep quiet. Praise God. Because they don't know what you are doing with your husband at home. Putting unnecessary pressure. Know how to wait for the right time and listen to the right reason. You may start in one room. Wait for the right time to enter 3-bedroom flats. Don't say, no, now we are married. My husband, you need to do something. Otherwise, I'll go to my father's house and stay. This is not the kind of place you took me from. You didn't know where I was living before. Amen. Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. There's going to be a time in marriage where certain things will not come yet because the hour hasn't come. What you may need may not be what God wants to give you at that time. Again, husband and wives must understand each other as far as times and seasons are concerned. Don't force it on him. Don't force it on her. Learn how to adjust your schedules to accommodate each other. And most especially, God's timetable and agenda for you. Praise God. Verse 5, what other level? Whatever he says, do it. The mother of Jesus told them, whatever he tells you to do, do what? Do it. Whatever he tells you to do. And you know that God cannot be wrong. And if you read Ephesians chapter 5, you will see all there is to do. If you read 1 Peter chapter 3, he said, husband, love your wife. Wives, submit to your husband in all things. If that is what he has asked you to do, please do what? Do it. Don't do it because of any external factor. Do it because he told you to do it. You will not be wrong if you look at your wife and say, if God didn't say I should love you, I would have hated you. But since he said I should love you, I don't have a choice. Praise God. He says I should love you. I don't have a choice than to love you. Most especially when you marry the will of God for you. You can look at yourself and say, no, I am here to obey the will of God. The head of the wife, that is the husband, must put himself in such a position that will enable him or her hear from the head of the man, which is Jesus. And then command his household to do it without compromise. In Genesis chapter 18, God speaking of Abraham, he said, I know Abraham. He will command his household to love me. Adam failed here.
He wasn't able to put it straight to Eve to be able to keep the instructions that God gave to him. If the head of the man, Jesus, says, love your wife, do it. Not minding her size, not minding her shape, not minding her figure, not minding her attitude or her actions and reaction. If he says, submit to your husbands, please do it. Not minding his pocket, don't mind his background, not minding his status or his height. Never try to change the things that you cannot change. Adjust to what you already have. Praise Master Jesus. Verse 7, he said, fill the water pot. And I like this one. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 0-100. Don't bring some, I bring some, and we join together and we make a whole. Marriage is you lose all to win all. Let the wife be willing to lose all. I told us a story how a woman who read the same course with the husband left her job. The husband lost his job. And the woman was still going to work. Both of them studied the same course. They were working in different firms. But when the husband lost the job, the woman was doing well. She was an executive in her place of work. She talked to herself and said, no, it won't be right for me to be the one coming back and my husband telling me welcome. I'm talking about a real life story. She went to her boss and said, my husband has the same qualification like I do. He even have more experience. I would like to resign my position and I'd like you to employ my husband in place of it. And the boss couldn't understand. I said, but we love you. You have given. He said, please do this for me because of the time and the effort I have put in this company. And that woman was fired and her husband was employed to take that same position. Praise God. She said, I prefer my husband to be the one going out and coming back and me telling him welcome. I prefer my husband to be the one bringing the money. And for me, you see, I've said before that a woman may be earning in millions, but if she pays out rent for 1 year, she will complain. It doesn't matter how much a woman has. If she pays school fees for one full session, she will complain. But the money is there. But you know, some men have been doing it for eternity, and they are still smiling. Praise God. So marriage, you must be willing to lose all and to gain all. I said, let me lose it for my husband's sake. My husband doesn't like me talking like this. For that reason, I'm not going to be talking like that. He doesn't like me behaving like this. I'm not going to behave like that for my husband's sake. That's losing all to gain all. Praise God. My wife likes it like this. Let me behave like that. And say, before I married you, all these my friends were there. And so you will not be the one to come and stop my friends. Say, fill the water pot to the brim. You must be filled up to the brim with the material that will make for a happy home and marriage. Stuff yourselves with enough of God's word that you are able to withstand the storms and waves that will come. I told us the other time we gathered, talking about husband and wife, how a woman wanted to go and carry the car. She wanted to leave. The husband is a pastor, is screaming, keep that car, drop that car. You foolish woman, drop that car. And you know, the woman dropped the car key and walked away gently. The husband is still shouting. He's still talking. And the husband said, the Holy Spirit told him, are you not crazy? Of all this shout you are shouting, that your wife has not answered you one word. Are you not crazy? And he said he kept quiet and learned his lesson. Praise God. If you were the woman, would you not have said, this one na moto? Have you not seen what your mates are driving? Praise God. Wouldn't you have said that? He said, let me give it to him the way he wants it. Let me give it to him. Let nobody hold me. But you know, that lady kept quiet, dropped the car keys and left. And she won her husband. Amen. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Another level is level 6. It's an empty water pots. It is critically important that you empty yourself of all prejudices, all negative ideas and philosophies. The Bible said they were empty water pot in a wedding feast. It is important that you empty yourself of prejudices. Empty yourself of school ideas. Your friends told you that men are very crafty. And so even when you have gotten married, you are still looking at your husband as a very crafty man. Your mother told you 10 years ago that when you get married, my daughter,
Make sure that if your husband tells you sit down, that you should be standing up. And then you have gotten married. You are remembering what your mother said. You can't run a successful marriage using the template of your father's marriage. No. Praise God. Because we are not the same persons. We are not living in the same time. We are not living in the same season. We are not hearing the same thing. And so you must learn to hear the instruction for your own marriage success. Praise God. When Moses died, the rod didn't die. The rod was there, but Joshua didn't go to carry the rod. Listen to God for your own instruction. Praise God. Empty yourself of ideas. The things that you hold against women, the things that you hold against men. Empty yourself of those ideas. Don't get yourself stopped and choked with the ideas and the philosophies of the world. They said, as you enter there, be wise, oh, shine your eye. The men of nowadays. And so as you enter, you are beginning to check around. Check his pocket. Whether I could see condom inside. Put it back. Be careful for what you are looking for. Praise God. The Bible said there were empty water pot. Empty yourself of what you know. My father used to beat my mother, sime, sime. Empty yourself of it. My mother never used to say a word when my father talks. And so you want to marry a dummy. So when I say move, move. When I say sit, sit. When I say rise, rise. That's not the kind of marriage you need. Praise God. I told my wife before we got married, I like a woman who talks. I don't like it when you always tell me, is this thing good? Yes. Should we go to Lagos tomorrow? Yes. Can't you say no for one day? Because this no will help me. Praise God. Are you hearing me? He's going to help me. Your no, your argument sometimes will help me. There are men who died on plane crashes because they didn't listen to their wives. The wife said, what I saw today, my dear, please don't travel. I said, go and sit down. What did woman say? And then he left and didn't come back again. Praise Master Jesus. Empty yourself of those ideas, those hostile attitudes for the harmony of your home. In verse 8, the Bible said, draw out now. And I said here, you can only draw out from the abundance that you have stored up or filled. If you have not filled yourself up with anything, you can't draw out anything. Praise God. You can't draw out anything. So get yourself filled. When things are not working, you can tell your wife, don't worry. I know where we are heading to. Job was so filled that when Satan borrowed the mouth of his wife and told him, do you still maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Job had an answer. He said, you are not a foolish woman, but you are beginning to talk like one of them. Praise God. You know, Job didn't call the wife foolish. He said, you are talking like a foolish woman. Amen. Fill yourself up. Because there's going to come a time that your wife will ask you questions. That it will take the answer that God gave you before the marriage to keep her quiet. Amen. You must put yourself in a position to be able to tell her that there is something you have filled yourself up with, not with anger. You should put yourself in a position to be able to tell him, my husband, don't worry. God will turn things around. Verse 9, the Bible says, when the ruler tested it, your marriage can begin from the water level. But make sure it gets to the wine level before it is time for men to test it. Praise God. Your marriage can begin from the water level. But ensure that it will get to the wine level before it is time for people to begin to test it. Before it is time for your children to grow up and say, if this is what is called marriage, I will never marry when I grow up. If this is what it means to be a husband, I don't want to be. If this is what it means to be a wife, I don't want to be. The Bible says, when the ruler of the feast tested it, I'd like you to know that neighbors will test your marriage. When you both begin to fight and break things around, your children will come and test the marriage. What test will they have? Will it be a bitter test? Will it be a sweet test? Will it be a sour test? But it is your responsibility to provide the best test. And finally, in verse 10, the chairman said, you have kept the good wine. He said, every man from the beginning of the feast will bring forth the best wine. You know, when we are chasing women, we want to marry them. You can step on his toe. I said, I'm sorry. He said, no, no problem. He no pain me. Praise God. He no pain me. No. Now you can take the woman to a eatery and you order for chicken for her. And then you are asking them, do you have water? And she's eating the chicken, you are drinking water. Not because you don't like chicken. Praise God. You just want to impress her. Amen. Every man at the beginning will bring forth the best. He dresses the best. Some of us will go and borrow shoes and wear. Borrow cars and come and carry you around. I said, that man get car. He get moto. Nalayo. Praise God. Every man at the beginning will bring out the best. So that you don't enter and say, no, this is not the girl I married. This is not the Tony. He's still the Tony. He hasn't changed. Praise God. But he has now gotten what he has been looking for. So he needs to be himself now. This time around, he match him anyhow. He said, that you do me, they pay me if you do it the second time. But that's what you have been doing all these years. And he said, no, no trouble. Praise God. He goes out there and buys you a very costly gift and bring it. You say, thank you, my dear. He said, don't mention. Praise God. Don't mention. It is my pleasure. I can do anything for you. 2 years after marriage. Say, my husband, do you know that the last time you bought me clothes was the time we dedicated our first son? And he says, you know, things are very expensive. You know, life is difficult now. Manage. Praise God. Every man will bring forth good wine. But towards the end, they will bring the worst. But the Bible says, the chairman, when he tested the wine, he said, this wine is the best. I pray that 10 years after today, it will be sweeter for you than what it is today. 20 years from now, this marriage will be mightier, will be greater than what it is today.